On my 40th birthday, I woke to a blessing out my kitchen window that looked like this. At the end of the day, my 40th birthday, I had the opportunity to sing with 10 times Grammy Award winning a cappella group, Take Six, in concert in Hobart, where I sang and declared, now and forever, each breath that I take, I live to make your name great. This was particularly poignant. 20 years earlier, at the age of 20, I spent 2.5 months in a hospital bed. I was opened up and operated on 5 times in the space of 6 weeks, and I almost died 3 times. In the years, months, and weeks leading up to this time, I had been prayed for healing many times and in every way that you may think of. While lying in that hospital bed, by then a skeletal frame, not that you can tell now, hair falling out and my bowel on the outside of my body in 2 places, unable to do anything for myself and in brutal pain, I gave up. I figured by then that God should have shown up and done what I'd asked for. With hundreds and hundreds of people praying across Australia, seeking his face, pleading with him to heal me, and he didn't. So I told him to get lost. My brother sat on my hospital bed and said, Jill, I go home, and I scream at the ceiling, and I ask God why. Somewhere in the numbness and darkness, God showed me he was still there and still with me, and that I didn't have to hang on to him. He was holding on to me and wouldn't ever let me go. I knew he was sovereign and I could trust him with my life. It was also during that 10 weeks I began to declare that as long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord. And sometimes breath was all I had. Now and forever, all of my days, forever, I sing your praise. Now and forever, each breath that I take, I live to make your name great. Since then, the journey of chronic illness, pain and fatigue has continued. Sometimes in darkest of valleys, I no longer wanted to be here. There was traumatic acute illness for months where I couldn't function at all, and chronic illness and pain are still part of my normal day-to-day life. How many times have you heard the question, why does God let bad stuff happen? Why does bad stuff happen to good people? We live in a broken and damaged world. Even as I prepared this week, I was messaged by a friend in Australia, a Christian wife of a dear Christian man, a mother, and she was in shock trying to process the news that her husband had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And we all have similar stories of people we know and people we're close to. You know, we have a few irritations. The computer crashing, the washing machine doesn't work, an annoying boss, traffic jams. And yet, we try and hide the reality and often don't talk about the cruel medical diagnosis, chronic illness, or living with the instability and darkness of mental illness, the isolation and loneliness, the inability to be able to have a baby, or the endless aching loss of miscarriage and stillbirth, the shame of sexual abuse, chronic unemployment or job redundancy. We hear a breaking down of marriages, dysfunctional families and betrayal in friendships, depression, and the list goes on. And at times, our own world feels like a crazy, chaotic storm. And then all I need to do is turn on the radio, read a newspaper, look through my newsfeed, flick through Facebook, my Twitter feed, and look across the whole earth at the overwhelming and endless suffering. Genocide, refugees, persecution, children with empty, swollen bellies and mosquitoes that kill thousands of people. Natural disasters such as earthquakes and tsunamis as our moral fibre of society disintegrates even further. And in Western middle-class society, life is relatively comfortable. And we can fob off pain, we can ignore it, we can put a plaster on it, we can take a tablet, and we can not talk about it. And we can make sure life is so busy that we never ever have to face it. Persecution in the Western world for our faith, if at all, is often low-level ridicule or alienation, and we don't really even need to face our pain until we absolutely have to. When we do acknowledge what is really happening, we ask, why? And yell and scream and say it's not fair. And it's good to be real and honest. But the why, what caused this, part of the question is usually unanswerable. Amidst the suffering and fatigue, God is an easy target for blame and accusation. And there are questions and temptations. God has abandoned me. God has betrayed me. He's not powerful enough. He doesn't love me enough. I'm just not worth it, so why bother? I'm too dirty, and all he wants is to disappoint us. Or we're left with false guilt and false accusation that it's all my fault. I don't have enough faith or I would be healed. Or I must have done something really bad. So God, and if I hadn't, then God would heal me or the loved one. And we blame ourselves and we look for someone to blame. Modern day psalmists, mercy me, express it this way. Why? The question that is never far away. The healing doesn't come from being explained. Jesus, please don't let this go in vain. You're all I have, all that remains. So here I am, what's left of me, where glory meets my suffering. Pain so deep that I can hardly move, just keep my eyes completely fixed on you. Lord, take hold and pull me through. There is another part to that why question. It doesn't seek cause, it seeks purpose. There is a question where our faith can be exercised. We can trust God who said that he will never leave us or forsake us, who promises us to be with us through the fire. And in Isaiah, while God's people are in exile, he promises and proclaims, "And he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour." If we see no purpose in pain, if we don't trust God to be present in it, then we avoid pain, suffering, or even mild discomfort. But God is no foreigner to pain, and pain is not foreign to him. The love of God looks like the cross. It is all that we celebrate at Christmas. Our God come to us, to earth, so that we could be made blameless. Our sin, sickness, and shame cast as far as the east is from the west. And God himself cared so much for the suffering of this world that he entered into it. He is with us in it. Our suffering Lord, whose heart broke over his world as he bled and died for us on the cross, and the depth and power of his love, he rose again to conquer all of it. That we can know his love for all eternity. From Adam and Eve to now, God made us for unbroken relationship with him, to know his love, to be loved, and to know him. As we are restored through pain and suffering, we are made and shaped more in his likeness and in who we are created to be. When we seek God's purposes within pain and suffering, we know his love deeper and grow in intimacy with him, because it's something that we share with him and he with us. Romans 8:28 is one of the most well-known scriptures for those facing difficult times. It is also one of the misquoted scriptures. As it's often said, as God works all things for my good. The way I want. Rather, the emphasis is on his purpose. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Throughout all history, we have seen that God can and does work in the lives of his people wherever they live and whatever circumstances they find themselves in. That he accomplishes his purposes, whether his children live in difficult countries or in safe ones. Today, there are approximately 200 million people facing persecution for believing in Jesus, and 60% of those are children. Yet in China, in spite of intense persecution, the church has grown. First with hundreds and thousands of people, and later even millions coming to Christ. After 30 years, China has changed drastically in the political, economic, and social realms, and still changing to this day. God achieves his purposes. When those who were being persecuted were asked how the body of Christ could pray for them, they responded with things like this. Now, these words are straight out of Ephesians initially. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. They value the purposes of God. And they go on to say that they would love Christ appearing all the more. And they long for God to be glorified in his world, no matter what the cost. They pray that they will remain faithful, and God vindicates their faith. The love of Jesus is made known through suffering, and no life goes to waste. At the church plant Will and I were part of leading, we had a tragedy within our church community with a stillborn baby girl. Her death affected everyone, and it shook our little community. And yet, it was through God's family that God's love was revealed. It was through the family of God that the raw grief and brokenness were embraced, and Christ-likeness through his people brought hope and healing to the couple in their loss and to many others in the whole community. The cause of the tragedy isn't known, but good came out of the pain. And his love was shown, real and evident in the brokenness. The writer of Romans speaks of groans with that of childbirth, the very curse of labour. God does with us. I've had 4 babies. Having babies is messy. Pain and suffering is hard work. Growing in intimacy is hard work and messy. The pain during labour of childbirth can feel unbearable for some. Similarly, facing the pain of abuse, of a broken heart, shame, grief or betrayal can be some of the harshest to come to terms with. It is within the hardest moments that the love of God is deepest and his healing works are transforming. It is in our weakest and most vulnerable times that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And our relationship with him, as we know his love, even more in the hardest times, and is a love that covers the whole of eternity. The purpose of pain is to grow in the knowledge and depth, width, breadth, and majesty of the love of God. When we are at our most broken and vulnerable, we know this great love. And we become, with Paul, more and more convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our purpose is to know the intimate love of Christ in suffering. And he is with us in it. In the rough times, we find it hardest to know he's there. In the fear and anxiety and in despair, in both heart and mind, he is still present. And his promises are true. His word stands forever. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of us are feeling pain and asking why. How do we respond? We view our circumstances through the window of God's love instead of the other way around. Sometimes I sit on my Heavenly Father's knee and pound his chest in anger like a child throwing a tantrum. Other times I've turned my back in cold, stubbornness and pride, and he sits and takes it. He waits. It is only because the love of the Father is so immense and present that I can do that at all. I read recently, our Father's love is now revealed as more developed or sophisticated, in a sense. In fact, it is beyond our understanding. All we have to know is this. He displayed irrefutable love when he died for enemies. And his ongoing love includes reworking us into the shape of Jesus, which is the greatest gift. His love is relentless, sacrificial, and generous. The cross of Christ is the evidence. So we trust him as a young child trusts a good parent. Healing comes, but it's often not the healing we expect. It's a restorative healing, the healing of knowing the love of Christ deeper. We won't ever stop praying for my healing, and I won't ever stop believing in miracles. But often, the healing is different from what we expect. So rather than basing life on what I feel, I look at my thoughts and feelings through the deep, present love of God. And finally, how do we as God's people respond to the stresses, hurts, shame and brokenness of this world, both personally and together. We must be honest and real, particularly about pain, to allow ourselves to be stripped away of the things that hold us back as we grow in dependence on God, and then together, God's love shines the brightest. Our lives are a testimony to Him and not to ourselves. Everything is a gift from Him, even breath itself. In that love of God, we are blessed to be a blessing. This week, as I prepared, I've had one song that's gone around and around and around in my head. And it's called Blessings. It's written by Laura Story. She wrote it while her husband had brain cancer. And I'm going to use it partly to finish in prayer. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, and protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. What if your blessings come from raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise? Lord God, I pray for us, your people. Lord, that we would be honest, that we would be real, that we would be open to you, to knowing your love more deeper, to work toward your purposes of knowing you, of your world knowing you, of Newbury knowing you. Father, I ask for grace in all of us, that we handle each other with care, and that your love will be evident to all in each other, that we would shine in your darkness. In Jesus' name. Amen.